Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 879, When Reach Fell, recorded live on April 4th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I'm your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And we've been away for a little bit. The reasons, as normal. But we're back.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling so hot last week.
Yeah. Hey,
my stomach was doing loop-de-loops.
Yeah, and then I forget.
Confal, shush.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was actually
Going to episode 4. I just wanted to get that out there. And if you haven't guessed, we're talking about the Halo TV show tonight.
Yes. And the motorcycle in GT's background. Or whatever that was.
Yeah, motorcycle. This is my neighbor. Yeah. He decided right now is the time that he wants to go for a ride. So vroom vroom. Yeah. It's a nice bike. I won't argue with it. I wouldn't That's mind good. Having it.
Well, hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone is enjoying the TV show. It is technically over from the last time we recorded the show. The TV show is done. We're going to be covering through episode 4, and then we'll be covering the remaining episodes on the next podcast.
After somebody watches them.
Yeah. In other news, I did finish the Halo book.
Yes, and tell them how you finished it.
I actually finished it in Audible form. Or not Audible, but Spotify.
But yeah, audio audiobook.
In audio form. So I finished Shadows of Reach in a long drive to and from Quantico.
Yeah, that's quite the book to be listening to for going to that particular destination.
Yeah, it was the last 40% of the book, and I think my drive time was 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
And that was listening on like 1.5 speed. No, I was down there from Marine Corps stuff, Confal.
Oh, so you were listening to the midget read.
No. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that would just screw with me.
In fact, a lot of the podcast stuff I listen to on like 1.5 or 1.2, and it's like just fast enough where it doesn't really throw you off as far as too fast. So it works. Thank you, Pens. And I've started listening to Point of Light.
Cool.
On Spotify. I am about a quarter to a third of the way through that one. The chapters are very short.
Yes, they are.
But hearing Tim Tadaba's voice, especially when it does spark, is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
So.
That's what actually makes that book, honestly, in audio form. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The book's great. But in audio form, that makes it so much better.
Yeah. So my strategy now is whenever I'm feeding the little guy, if I'm feeding him by myself, I have the audiobook on. I usually get through a chapter or two of feeding because some of those chapters are like 10 minutes a piece. Mm-hmm. So out of the 40 or so chapters, I'm on chapter 12, I think. So making progress.
Yeah, I just finished up Epitaph for the second time.
And for Laird, since he asked in the Discord, no, it was not Halsey's journal.
I don't think they have that in audio version yet.
I don't think they'll ever have that in audio version. That's not exactly a book that you have in audio version.
Oh, tip. If any of you listening, go over to Pins Halo's channel. I think the voting's still open, Pins, on the next book. But if the voting's open, when you hear this, go over to his channel at, Pins Halo on Twitch, whenever he's streaming, and he's got a link to a poll where he votes for the next book he's going to read, and Halsey's Journal is one of them. So we all need to make sure he reads Halsey's Journal.
Oh my gosh.
Payback's a bitch, Pins. Oh.
Oh my, that. Oh man.
So then we'll have an audio version of it.
And thank you, Prestige, for 45 months. Welcome back.
Hey, Prestige. Oh, speaking of which.
See you around for a while.
I need to do that. I had 3 days. I had 3 days Friday, and I forgot to come back and do that.
Wait, is it like a vote once a day type thing, or?
I don't know. How many times can you vote? Depends.
Well, in other news, we did have Dragon Friday last week. GT actually hosted it. He was back.
Yes. My stomach was not doing loop-de-loops.
We played some of the new maps in BTB. Still getting used to some of the new ones and how they play and everything. We think, if I remember right, we got mostly stomped until like one game at the end where we actually won.
No, we actually won one of the earlier ones too. But yeah, okay,
that was before I joined.
There was a bunch of tryhards. Bunch of tryhards.
Yeah.
All in all, it was still a lot of fun. The only real frustrating I have is with my skill and the lack thereof. And if you want to know why, just come watch the stream and you'll see.
There you go.
Here, I'll move over to the middle of the screen instead of off to the left.
Over there, and up there. yeah, so Fragment Friday is still doing matchmaking in Halo Infinite with the updates. It'll be interesting. I'm curious what we might do tomorrow because...
Grab Popolux. Yeah. At least until the fire team gets too big.
There you go. Because that's
I played a little of that today, and it was fun.
I got on and did my daily Husky raid because I'm finally finished with Baldur's Gate. I beat that game last night. 180 hours on Steam. It's a great game, though. I love Halo and everything, but as far as like a video game is concerned, if you're into RPGs and like just good story, narrative, character development, like Baldur's Gate is probably the best game I've ever played for that kind of a game.
Well,
it's a grind, it's a commitment, yeah. But it is an amazing game.
I've actually been, this is totally dependent on my schedule. Provided things keep going the way they're going, I will be able to go back to a Monday through Friday work week, and then I'll be off on Saturdays and Sundays.
Nice.
Once that happens, this is going to happen on my own channel, and you can find me at Godzilla T right here on Twitch. I'm going to subject myself to some serious pain. I'm going to play all of the Halo PC titles, the main titles, like Halo Wars, both of them, Master Chief Collection, and Halo Infinite using keyboard and mouse.
Okay.
To preface this, I can't type to save my life.
It's a little different than typing. So
than typing because I don't have the ingrained memory of where all the buttons are. If you know how to type, then it's a lot easier.
That's what sight buttons on the mouse are for.
Yeah, there's still other things you have to do with the keyboard.
There are. But I mean, WASD is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. You got your crouch on your control and jump on your space bar.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've got a 12-button mouse, and I will probably use most of those buttons.
Yep.
But it ought to be comical to watch. So stay tuned. I will let you know when that's going to happen. Hopefully, it's sometime in the next month or so.
Very nice.
Fingers crossed. Because at work, I've been getting my butt absolutely handed to me.
I don't know when we'll ever do this again. I'd like to do it again, but playing through the campaign with my wife, with Liam, I don't know how, when that can or would happen, but would like to do that. I have thought about just going through and doing a campaign run on the Podtacular channel at some point. Just because it's nice to go through and just play through the games every once in a while and without skipping the cutscenes and without doing challenge hunting or achievement hunting. And I haven't done that in a while. So it'd be nice just to play through all the games. And
I might have to check on Halo 5. I don't know. Does it support keyboard and mouse on Xbox? I'll have to check.
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either, but I'll check. If it does, then I will throw Halo 5 in there. This is all going to be campaign runs. This is no multiplayer. It's not going to happen.
They should just release the campaign as is on PC. Like, okay, don't do matchmaking if you don't want to, but just release the campaign as a $20 download on the Windows Store or something. And
$10.
Or $10 or whatever.
Yeah, back to our previous conversation about money grubbing. Anyway. Well, no, it's not going to happen because they're not going to devote the resources to it right now because they're still fixing Infinite. Like,
just deploy it as is. I mean,
well, I don't think he can. I don't think they can just tell it that it works on PC and have it work.
Well, they already have the engine running on PC.
Yeah. I just don't know with. And I'm using the Master Chief Collection as what I'm looking at. Look at how much custom tuning they did to the Master Chief Collection to make it work on PC using that engine. How much they had to tweak each individual game to make it work correctly. Don't get me wrong. I would love it if they did it because it would be nice to be able to play any of the Halo games just by grabbing my laptop when I'm traveling.
The challenge that was with the original games, the 360 games versus Halo 5, is that was built on a PowerPC architecture and a separate architecture. So there was a lot of quirks.
Yeah.
Halo 5 shouldn't have nearly as that many quirks because it's all based on x86 instruction code, that should translate between Xbox One and PC pretty seamlessly. And like you have a valid point. There might be some complications there. It should not nearly be as complicated to just drop the campaign and Halo 5 on PC.
In the current environment that 343 is in,
sure.
They're still working on Infinite, fixing its bugs, which sure. They've got quite a few of them taken care of, but there's still stuff they need to fix. They're actively developing another game. We don't know where they are in the development process. We just know they're working on one, whatever that means. You know, are they physically coding or are they still trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do? Pardon my French. Bleep. Anyway, I will say I hope they have a solid plan for how they're going to pull it off with no campaign team, because that makes me wonder what kind of game they're actually working on. Now, I'm not saying they can't hire a campaign team, but currently they do still have people there.
Right. There's still there the, people the there that maintain. The entire department
was pretty much said, here's your pink slip. See you later. Bye.
Yeah. Like Jeff's there. Corrine's there.
I'm not saying they can't come up with the idea for the campaign, but they have nobody to build it.
Well, they have no one to really hash out the story, you mean, and the intricate details of like what all the specifics that go into the game. Yeah.
Anyway,
that's you make some good points.
To be determined. I imagine eventually, Halo 5 might make it to PC, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be nice, like, not expecting anything major to support it. It'd just be nice, like, just drop it on there, just, like, finish out the collection on PC. So, just, it's that one little gap that just be, it'd be nice to have someone, because I know a few streamers that haven't played Halo 5 because it's not on PC.
Yeah. I mean, they do have the Forge on PC, so that might make
Forge and full multiplayer and customs, like.
Right.
The engine is there.
It might be as easy as just recompiling the game and saying, here it is. And just dropping the Forge altogether and just have Halo 5 Guardians in full, which I still need to work on the Forge achievements.
I've got.
Of course, the last time I tried to play it, I couldn't get it to run. So
I'm gonna have to check on that. There's a quirky way you have to do the install, but last time I tried it, I could still do it. But I got the Forge achievements to still do for myself too.
Well, I mean, you install it through the store,
and then you have to uninstall the Halo app that comes with it because that doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
So install, uninstall, then it's supposed to work.
By the way, I found a new uninstall program I'll have to show you about, and it's free.
Oh, cool.
It goes hunting.
Pikes coming through registry and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. It even looks through all the files, your actual folders and stuff.
Mm.
Like, it'll delete old saves and stuff like that if you want to get rid of them as well.
Okay.
Anyway.
I am curious. Yeah, I think that covers most of the stuff from the Podtacular community side of the house. Some of the Halo Waypoint news to go through. The first major took place a couple of weekends ago. And at the Optic Major, Space Station actually took home the gold. And this is the first time that someone not from the U.S. was on a winning team.
Wow.
There's actually a European player that was playing on Space Station. So this is actually history in the making, where we have an international player earning a championship.
Cool.
So, yeah. Is that ding, 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 as in you got a bingo or something else?
No, confoul.
Okay. But that's some big news. And Space Station's been around for a while. They've been hunting for talent and everything. And to have someone international be on the team and then come take a gold, that's pretty impressive. I've been saying it for the last couple of years. It's been good to see the international players kind of slowly get up the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard because all the pro players are based in North America, so it's hard to compete against them and really.
Well, yeah, a sizable chunk of them are.
Yeah.
It's hard to compete on that level if you don't have anybody at that level to compete with.
Right. I'm just happy to see that it's kind of taking a turn and being able to have the international scene represented and actually get that interest going and have that competition really play a factor.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Space Station for taking the first major. That's incredible.
Yeah. Have to keep an eye on them.
Definitely. So with that said, we have the next major coming up, and I believe tickets are already on sale for it. And this one is the one in London coming up here in a few weeks, I believe. So I'm trying to go find the schedule. Again, they don't have the schedule on the homepage of the frickin' Halo GG website. Where is it? There it is. May 11th and 12th. Hey, Hayden. Thank you for the raid.
Hey, Hayden.
Yeah, London in May is the next one. That should be interesting. What else we got? We got Gruntpocalypse, which is what GT was alluding to earlier. It's the set of game modes now in matchmaking for Firefight. So endless grunts in Firefight should be a lot of fun. Watch out for the grenades, because I'm sure there'll be plenty.
No, yeah, it's fun. It's weird. I jumped into my first game. I actually jumped into the middle of a match. Well, actually, it was close to the end of the match. Anyway, and I spawned in with a shock rifle and skewer.
So is it like that was your base weapon loadout?
Yeah, that's what I spawned in with. Random? But all the other times that I played, it was a shotgun and a commando was the starting weapon.
Hmm.
So interesting. I don't know if the game was just trying, it was part of the catch-up mechanic.
Maybe it was like.
Because, I spawned in the middle of a match.
Yeah, maybe the waves. Like, depending on what wave you're on, you have a different spawning set of weapons?
No. Every time after that I died, I respawn with the same weapons.
Well, did you die or did someone come revive you?
No, I actually died.
Oh.
When I got revived, I had the same weapons I was when I went down.
Okay.
So it, I thought it was weird.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played it yet, so haven't had enough
chance to
experiment with it. That's good.
Unfortunately, the first skull it's on takes away your radar.
Yeah, but in Firefight, you know enemies are coming from everywhere.
Not when it's your first time playing it. I got snuck up on a couple of times because I didn't know where the grunt spawns were yet. So I got snuck up on a couple of times.
I see.
One of them was my suicide grunt
coming in and...
Well, you have freaking 30 grunts. Which one's screaming at you?
Yeah. Can't exactly but use the audio cue to know which was closest, I guess. So, but yeah, Yappening is happening as well. There's a 20-tier operations pass that you can unlock different weapon coding sets. I think there's an armor set in there. Actually, I think there's two weapon coding sets in that operation pass, along with the Gruntpocalypse matchmaking stuff that's in there as well. I think that's it for the Halo updates. So, unless there's anything else that I missed, which I'm not sure if you're tracking anything, I think we can get on to the Halo TV show.
Nothing that I can remember.
Yeah, I'm checking Twitter real quick just to be sure. But I think we're probably good. Yeah, nothing I'm seeing at the moment. Cool. TV show, episodes 2 through 4, or at least up through 4. So, where do we start? A lot more ties in with the books, which I really like seeing. I caught a few of the Easter eggs. So the Halo Xbox on the shelf in the lady's shop, that was a cool little nod.
You like that one, huh? I thought it was pretty good too.
That was a nice little Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen someone post about it on Twitter. And I had forgot about it, and then when I was watching the episode tonight, I noticed them like, oh, that's right, that's in there. So, that's where it was. Interesting story development, how things are kind of moving and shifting into place, and all the story threads are kind of finally crossing each other, so having Quan and Soren, those paths crossing, and then having Soren brought back into Halsey's life, and getting everything kind of incorporated now, it's all starting to kind of focus on the Covenant and the invasion and Reach. Cool nods to, was it Reach in Halo Wars where you had the bridges and defending? Was that on Reach or was that somewhere else?
Yeah, ODST had one. Well, that was blowing the bridge.
I'm thinking specifically of Halo Wars and
yeah, Halo Wars.
Scene I think- at the end of Episode 4 with the bridge that reminded me of the Oni bridge from ODST.
Yeah. Well, you do, but you do fight on a bridge on the level Arcadia in Halo Wars.
It's Arcadia. Yeah. But those bridges, the bridge that the dad was talking about that he built reminded me of the bridges in Arcadia.
Yeah.
There were lots of crossover references to game pieces. And I'm going to be jumping around here. We're not doing like an episode by episode recap of events and everything.
And I'm following his lead so I don't accidentally say something to spoil something he hasn't seen yet.
Because honestly, if you're going to go watch the TV show, go watch it. We're not doing a lore breakdown. There's plenty of YouTube channels that can go out there and do that. It's too bad Halo Canyon is not around because I would love to see his breakdown on everything, but there are plenty of other YouTubers out there doing the breakdown of the Halo TV show. I haven't watched any of them, but Halo, I know Hidden Xperia has been doing some. I'm sure the folks over at Podcast Evolved have probably done the breakdown of the narrative stuff. So this is more from just how we feel about the show, what stuck out to us, what we think about the production, the tie-ins, and just whatever we want to talk about kind of with the show. Unless someone in the chat specifically wants us to touch on stuff, we're just kind of reacting to it how we see fit. Like, we're just talking about how, what we like about the show. I thought, while it's sad that it happened and seeing a Spartan go out with Vanek going out, the call out to Reach and Kat was, that was a subtle little nod of, okay, Vanek dying to one needle. Granted, it was an elite sticking it in him instead of.
And he was unarmored too, so.
Yes. It's like, okay, we're going to write this wrong that we did in Reach. Or that Bungie did. But yeah, the hole in the ceiling of the Oni building and the needle that killed the Spartan. It's like, okay, I see what you're doing. I see the nods to different parts of Halo games and everything. And I'm sure that's intentional. I'm sure that all the connections to the games is like, yep, we're really digging our teeth into making the connections to the games.
It, don't get me wrong. I do appreciate that. I just don't want them to take it too far. I like that it's kind of its own standalone story. Yeah, you know, stuff like the needle. Yeah, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't even know it means anything unless you'd played the games. So it doesn't take away from the experience. I just don't want them to get too far down that path where stuff doesn't make sense to the people that are just watching the series only.
Yeah. But we're winding back a little bit to episode 2. We see our first appearances of Halsey in the series. And later find out that the girl is Ackerson's sister, who was conscripted into the Spartan program and didn't make it. So in some twisted way of Ackerson, I guess, saying F you to Halsey and having flash clones of his sister be the caretaker of Halsey. It was interesting to see Halsey turn that back around on him, though, in the fourth episode.
Yeah.
Like, the power plays at each other. It's just like, oh boy.
Well, they're both master manipulators. That's for damn sure.
And Ackerson, man, like, I go through these waves of, like, through the few episodes of, like, okay, he's the Oni screwball. He's calling all the shots and everything, but at the same time, it's like, there's pieces in the show that's like, okay, he has, like, a logical kind of human side of it, and part of it, I feel for the way that he's approaching things with this version of Ackerson. He's still an Oni prick, but there seems to be parts of things that he cares about, too. Like, the scene with him and his dad kind of was one of those tugs, and also just the seeing how he interacts individually with people. It's like, okay, you're definitely an Oni spook and a prick and everything, but seeing all of the thoughts that's going through his head of, like, we know, like, he knows that that Reach is going to fall and is making the tough calculated decisions on how best to handle the situation. And while it might not seem the most humanitarian, it is the most calculated and strategic options that he's taking. And granted, that's part of what Oni does, but at the same time, it's like, okay, like, part of what he's doing does kind of make sense, even though he's being a dick.
Yeah, because killing 3 Spartans just makes sense. But from...
Well, it was all 4, right? Because Cobalt was a fire team of 4.
Well, no, I was just talking about Silver Team. But yes, he did. I guess that would be 7 Spartans that he, 4 of them he did kill because he sent them on that mission without telling them what's going on. And then he tried to kill 3 more. He did manage with Vanek. You know, he tried to kill Riz and Master Chief. You know, he's just as much of a prick in the TV series as he was in the books.
Different kind of prick, though.
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting.
Different position.
Given the TV show and everything, yeah.
Like I said, the character in the TV show is in a different position than the one in the books. The one in the books, Ackerson was more competing with Halsey, where the Ackerson in the TV show was more power driven as far as he wanted to lead. You know, he wanted Perengoski's position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, so he could push his own agenda with the Spartan Threes, but.
And there was that little tie-in with his discussion with Halsey as he's kind of chipping down at what Halsey was doing with her Spartans and how the little pills and everything. That discussion was interesting. It's like, okay, there's that tie-in to the Spartan Threes, which I'm sure I'll learn about at some point when I get to the end of the season, if Spartan Threes are a thing in this universe yet. GT's not making a face, so I can't read his language. That's good. It's starting to break there a little bit. I'm reading
chat.
Starting to break there a little bit. The seeing McKee back in full force and taking Cortana, that was an unexpected turn.
Mm-hmm. That one I was not expecting.
Yeah.
The fact I figured that she'd McKee go for the artifact. Cortana. I figured she would go for the artifact. I did not see the Cortana thing coming.
I didn't either. And the same elite that's guarding McKee, still there. And John recognized him in the Oni building. And McKee still got a leash on that elite. But yeah, the Visengrad tie-in to the Reach game was good.
Mm-hmm.
That other foreign artifact was interesting. There's just a couple of scenes and there's no tie to what it is or what it means. I guess that's a yet thing. So just planting seeds in for future episodes.
Well, the one that Oni has is what they call a keystone.
Well, that was the original keystone that they found in season one.
Right.
The thing that McKee found at Visengrad.
That is also what they found. That's the second piece they found in season one. She stole that.
Oh, okay.
She stole that when she attacked Visengrad.
In season one. That was what they grabbed at the end of season one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go back and from the final battle part? I don't remember.
No, you have the first piece, which is the keystone, which they found in the first episode.
Yeah.
And then was like the fifth episode after he got Cortana. Is when they found the second piece on another planet. The episode they introduced Miranda and Captain Keyes.
But this one in season two is a new one, right? It's not.
No, it's the same one. Still the same two artifacts.
Okay. I gotta go back and refresh my season one content, I guess. What else is there? That's of note. Oh, Perengoski, definitely still Oni. Could've seen that one coming.
Was there any doubt?
No, of course not. What's Oni it's always
Perengoski?
No one leaves Oni.
Not alive.
The Quan, and I forget. I'm blanking on the name of Soren's family. But that whole narrative of the rubble is interesting. I mean, I think that's all the major things. You got anything?
I found it odd that Quan became indentured to the rubble.
She got sold off. There's some gap in there, and maybe they just needed to pull her into the story. So it's just like, well, she got here somehow.
Well, I mean, she was already in the story with Soren. I didn't quite get that move. I mean, it made for a great chase scene, but that showed how Quan can really kick some that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then
just how battle hardened she's gotten when she went through and killed all of Soren's crew.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're not the innocent little girl anymore. You're bloodthirsty a little bit.
Let's see what else. The fact that Soren's crew betrayed him, I guess they finally got a price that was right.
That was laid up, I think, from the first episode where his wife was saying they don't fear him anymore.
Well, no, I meant that they actually went through with it.
Oh.
Trying to think of anything else that really stood out.
It sucked to see Keys have to sacrifice himself.
But he did it for a good cause.
He did. But that was, I mean, after the pep talk.
And okay. And now that you've watched it, best speech ever? Top five? Top three?
Of like in Halo?
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's not a lot of speeches in games.
No, but I mean, there's monologues and stuff. You know, just of that. I mean, you got a couple of them, and you got one in Halo Wars, one in Halo Wars 2. There's several monologues throughout the games. You know,
the only one that really came to mind was the one from Halo Wars 2, like midway through the, or mid to late partway through the campaign.
Yeah, when he's talking to the AI.
Isabel,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's hard to commit to because I don't really recall a lot of other, like, I guess longer speeches like that in the Halo universe. There's some short, like, pre-battle ones. Like, there's a few in Halo 3, not the Miranda ones, because those just weren't that great in Halo 3.
No, they weren't.
But, like, like the Shipmaster one from Halo 3 was a good one. I don't know, actually.
Well, for me, it's at the top of the... It may not be the very, very best speech. But it's definitely up there to the top three for me.
I guess I just really haven't thought of, or I mean, maybe it is because I can't really think of many more speeches. So maybe this is the top one. I'm not sure. Well, actually,
I should say how you react emotionally to it. It was very, you know, it got me into the moment and really got me into what these Marines were about to do. You know, same with that speech that Captain Cutter did in Halo Wars 2.
It was similar to that, and I really appreciate the fact that it was Keys just straight laying it out there, not shadowing it. Like, if you're staying here, you're not surviving.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it hell for the Covenant to take Reach.
Yeah, they're going to pay for every inch they take.
It wasn't like the super inspirational, like you got the speech. It was just the down to earth, like we're going to make this sacrifice worth it type of thing, which has a different kind of impact, I think.
Anyway,
so maybe
I just wanted to see what you thought about it. I really enjoyed it, and it was a Captain Keyes death.
Yes, I mean it definitely wasn't.
The dialogue, attitude, just, it was a Captain Keyes death.
And he died with his pipe.
Uh-huh. Anybody got a light? Not to
the flood, though.
Not to the flood.
Although I heard that comes later, even though I'm not there yet. What else? At some point, I feel like Cortana has to meet back up with Master Chief, so that's going to come around at some point. Whether it's McKee trying to reach out to Chief again and something happened there. I don't know what's going to happen there. Now that everyone's, like, all the folks are off Reach, all the Oni stuff, I'm guessing there's going to be a dual story kind of going on of, all right, Oni's trying to control things in the background and falsifying the narrative around Reach, and Chief and all the survivors of Reach are now trying to push against the Covenant or whatever's going to happen there. So all this convergence of storylines is now going to split off again, I feel like, after this Reach episode. Not sure if I can think of anything else to go along with that. From a production standpoint, there's definitely a lot of reuse of stuff. Some of the VFX are a little lacking. You can definitely tell smooth textures on some things, smooth color palettes, and green screen effects, and actors just standing still and shooting things. Oh, one thing I thought was interesting is the BRs, or the weapons that are BR signets in the show, are just fully automatic rifle or semi-automatic mm-hmm. rifles. It's not a three-shot burst or anything. It's just a fully semi-automatic rifle.
Now, that is something I will call them out on. Something like that, they should have followed the established lore on that.
It's a weapon. If you look in the books, there is not all battle rifles are the three shots.
Actually, BRs in the books are more like the DMR. They're more of a marksman rifle.
Because in the books, they're one shot, three shot. I forget if there's parts where they're semi-auto in the books.
No, every time they talk about that, they're either talking about an SMG or an AR.
So yeah. So you have a fully, I guess the ARs would be automatic, and then the BR is just a semi-automatic rifle.
Yeah. Of course, they could just be pulling the trigger really fast. They are Spartans.
Yeah, but the Marines are doing it too.
Shh, that's supposed to notice. Anyway, but yeah, stuff like that, I will call them out on that. They should have been, if they were going to have them have an automatic weapon, they should have had ARs, not BRs.
It doesn't have the classic BR sound either. So it's like, okay, it's just a shape that you recognize, I guess, more than anything. I thought it was interesting that when the one elite shot chief in the back with the plasma pistol, they got his head cut off by the, I know the elite has a name, the one that's with McKee, but yeah, he was not happy and sliced that elite's head off.
Well, he took away his kill.
Yeah.
He wanted to fight Master Chief.
Master Chief was his and, nope. But Master Chief lives to fight another day.
I find it very fitting of the Covenant, of what we know about the Covenant. That is something that would happen. Oh, yeah,
that's fully Covenant right there. It definitely fits with the characters of Elite Honor and
mm-hmm.
and their, yeah, just their honor and how they see things that way.
I will say the Elite looks weird with his helmet off. The head just doesn't look right.
Yeah, the squished head.
Yeah, it just didn't look right.
That still baffles me that it looks so squished like that.
You know, I'm expecting, you know, the longer head, like, you know, like we've seen before. Granted, it could be an artistic decision, but.
Yeah, I don't know why it looks so different. Because I would assume they would have gone with some kind of source material that, so why is it changed?
I think what they did is they just didn't get proportions right for the head to the body. The head just seems small for the body.
It does. It really does.
I mean, when the helmet's on, it's not as bad because it adds some bulk, but still.
It's noticeable, though.
Yeah, the head size just doesn't look right.
Yeah. There's something there that just doesn't sit mm-hmm. well. So, no, I get what you're saying, and I think I have the same observations now, actually, after watching it. It's like, oh, yeah, that definitely got pulled out. We saw Jackals for the first time
mm-hmm.
in season 2.
Yep.
And they had the little short swords.
Mm-hmm.
So that was neat to see.
Their swords and their shields. And they were using plasma pistols and needlers.
Yep.
Honestly, my overall view of the series as an entire package, I enjoyed it.
And I'm enjoying season 2 so far.
This, you know, I'm not as crazy about the lore as a lot of people. I don't know, you know, I can't recite everything by heart. But to me, I think they did a good job with honoring what has been established, but still telling their own story. Is it chronologically the same as what we know? No, it is not. But they're telling a story in 8 episodes.
Right.
You can't fit all that in 8 episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot to crunch in there.
I mean, you cannot fit the fall of Reach, the creation of Spartans, the creation of Spartan 3s in 8 episodes. for 16 episodes. It just doesn't work. And be able to tell a full story. But anyway, well,
it depends on how you define the full story. Because
I mean the full story.
I mean, that's never going to happen.
No, it's not.
In narrative form. Unless you do.
I think they did a really good job. They did better than they did in season one. Because there were some pretty abrupt jumps in season one that really, it screwed with timeline. It just made your head kind of go crazy. But I still enjoyed season one. Season two, it was a lot smoother transition from timeline to timeline. They still jumped around, but that's just kind of the nature of having to produce a TV show. Because, you know, when you only have eight episodes, you have to move through the story relatively quick to keep retention, to keep people watching. I was actually kind of hoping they were going to go for like 13 seasons or 13 episodes, but.
Yeah, I would like to see more episodes in the future because 8's really short.
8 is really short, but I got to imagine the production costs aren't exactly cheap for Halo as a TV series. And now, granted, it's getting cheaper for season two because they have all the assets already created for season one. Season one will be the most expensive season of all of them because they had to create everything. You know, they had to create all the VFX from scratch. They had to create all the costumes from scratch, all the weapons, all the vehicles.
Sets. I mean, a lot of the sets is new. I guess some of the vehicles are there. I feel like there's still a decent amount of cost investment there.
Well, there is. I'm not saying that it wasn't expensive, but it wasn't as expensive as the first season. Because, you know, a lot of that, I guarantee a lot more of that was shot on green screen than you believe it was. Yeah, the stuff that they physically had to interact with was real stuff. But everything in the background, that was green screen.
I'd say a lot of it was.
Yeah.
So far. I mean, any of the interior stuff, I feel like there's probably a fair amount of green screen on those.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like the hallways were probably actually physically built. But, like, stuff that you would see in other rooms probably was a green screen.
That's one of the things that kind of makes it just feel not quite as, like, the world's alive is because mm-hmm. of all the closed off spaces and, I guess, maybe the utilization of green screens. Like, there's certain parts of it that it doesn't feel like there's actually a world there. Like, obviously, there is a world from a narrative perspective, but just the way it's produced, there's so many just, like, closed-off pieces, and there's mm-hmm. only a little glimpse that kind of make you feel like, oh, there's actually space that exists. And the only times I've really felt that so far is when Sorn was getting arrested, like, you actually look out in space, and there's the ship debris, and then... and this was, we know, is mostly VFX, but when Silver Team was training and it was Riz trying to going mm-hmm. through all the training stuff, it's like, okay, that there's something outdoor that exists there.
Well, the big battle
scene, everything else is like interior.
The big battle scene at the end of the fourth episode was, I mean, that was outside open area. I know it wasn't as open as the other. Honestly, and
like, you really need a large set.
Let me say this. The technology in your TV set actually degrades the quality of the video.
I mean, I'm watching it on my computer monitor.
Like I said, but not in the way you think. Okay, I've owned a rear projection TV ever since Halo 3. Last year, it finally went... So I went ahead and I bought myself a new TV. It's LED. It's HDR. It's 4K.
All the bells and whistles.
And you want to know something?
You missed your old one.
All the stuff I used to watch on that rear projection looks worse. And I'm not talking about, you know, 20-year-old titles. I'm talking 5-year-old titles.
Looks worse on your new TV? 3-year-old titles.
Yeah, on my new TV, because the VFX stand out like you would not believe. On that projector screen, because it was actual physical light, as far as a, you know, an incandescent bulb, it softened the edges and made those VFX look better because they blended into the scene better. It's like we watched, what was it? God, I can't even remember what the name of the movie was. It's only a few years old.
Marvel movie, action movie.
Yeah, I think it was Avengers or something. But, you know, we've watched that several times. Yeah, it was Age of Ultron. We've watched it several times.
Good. And like, and, but we know that those are using
all the VFX large
practical set pieces.
There's a lot more VFX in there than you think.
Oh, sure.
But
it's just a lot more convincing.
On the projector screen TV, you had to kind of, is that real or is it? You know, it blurred the line. But on my new TV, that's fake. I mean, it stands out. And it's because the picture quality on the new TV is so much higher. So, yeah, I kind of miss my old 1080p rear projection TV. And don't even get me started on, like Star Wars, the updated version, not the original. The original was all practical effects, very little digital. You know, short of the lightsabers, pretty much everything was actual effects. But on the remaster, when George Lucas went through and changed all these things, like the explosions, you know, the explosion of the Death Star and all that stuff to make it look better. I never thought it looked better. That really stands out. I mean, to the point where it looks totally out of place. Anyway. All in all, I've enjoyed season 2. I hope there's a season 3 because I would like to see the continuation of this story. We'll talk more about that next time and then theorize where things are going to go.
That we will do that next time. So,
and then I won't have to hold my tongue so much.
There we go. And as I catch up on more books, GD doesn't have to hold his tongue anymore. At some point, we'll talk about Shadows of Reach. The ending was a bit of a surprise in that book.
It was not what I was expecting either.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, like I get focusing on mission, but at the same time, what's going on? But yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode. So thank you all for tuning in. We have our Fragment Friday that will be happening tomorrow. GT will be hosting. Like we said before, we will probably be going into Gruntpocalypse until the party gets too big. And having fun shooting a bunch of grunts.
Yeah, really. I was really hoping that was a big team playlist, not 4v4 or 4v AI.
They're not doing 8-player firefight.
It's 4-player.
That kind of sucks. Okay.
Like I said,
8-player firefight was a thing, but
8-player firefight is. Gruntpocalypse is 4 people.
It's Gruntpocalypse's firefight, right?
Yeah, it's King of the Hill, except for you only fight grunts. All the different levels of grunts. But it's a 4-person playlist.
I thought Infinite's firefight had the chance to go up to 8, so I guess they just didn't do that for this playlist. Anyways, thank you all for watching on Twitch. Thank you all for listening in podcast download form, however you are listening to us. We appreciate it. We'll catch you all on the next episode and finish out season 2 of the Halo TV show. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fragment Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family. Or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.